With the first pick in the 2018 NFL Draft, the Cleveland Browns select Baker Mayfield.
Count it down, everybody. The Browns are winners tonight. And the drought is over. Led by the number one overall draft choice, Baker Mayfield.
That's the cheering from the press box, by the way. That's not the fans at the Barley House, as it might have been reported in the media there. One of those guys who witnessed that, Scott Petrek from the Chronicle Telegram, joins us to talk Browns football. Good morning, Scott.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Right. New way to write stories now. The Browns win 1-1-1.
Yeah, how about that? It was really something to see. You know, I mean, it's a few days ago now, but huge game, huge impact from Baker, exactly what you'd hope for from your number one pick, but I don't think it's fair to expect that from a guy coming off the bench, never really having practiced with the first team, and to come in and look like he did. I think there's no reason but to be excited for what the future holds.
Why do you think it turned out that way?
Why was he so good?
Right. What did you see, or what do you think, you know, that's just – how it's going to be with him? I mean, how did that really come to be?
Right. Well, here's the thing. I think we've seen flashes from other rookies and other young quarterbacks, you know, in the last 20 years of the Browns since they've been back. But why I feel Baker has a chance to be different is because we've seen it from him before. We saw it at Oklahoma when he goes on to win the Heisman Trophy, when he completed a high, high percentage of his passes. We saw it in the preseason, and that's what stuck with me. You know, he looked in command throughout the preseason. His first preseason action, it didn't look like it was too much for him. He knew the offense. He knew where to line guys up. And that just continued on Thursday night. He gets in, and he's running the no-huddle offense because it's a two-minute drill in his first action. And he's lining guys up, and he's getting in and out, not out of the huddle, but he's getting the line of scrimmage and getting the play called. And everybody knows where they're supposed to be. Just things you don't normally see from a rookie. So I would say his intelligence, his quick decisions in the pocket, and his accuracy, those all give him a chance to be really successful. And, you know, he's going to have ups and downs, and there's going to be bumps in the road, and you can't, you know, I mean, he's played a half of football. But all those things give you reason, and I think legitimate reason, to think he's going to be good in this league.
Is the circumstances allowing the coaches to give him – because sometimes if they bring somebody in, they kind of like change the playing a little bit to sort of, you know, fit them as far as, you know, being more conservative, maybe not making mistakes or whatever. But the fact that I think hadn't had a win, things weren't going well. I mean, it's like just go for it kind of an attitude.
Well, I think because they were down 14-0, they had no choice, right? If you'd started the season with them or even started the game with them, you might have seen a game plan like what the Jets did with Sam Darnold, where when they got up 14-0, they really shut it down. It was a conservative game plan. He didn't throw deep. Those kinds of things. And while I think where Baker is allows you to do everything in your playbook, throw the ball down the field, I think being down 14-0 in a two-minute offense, you had no choice but, okay, let's go do it. And when he did it in the first drive, all right, let's go do it again. And he just continued to do it. And I think, you know, I think Todd Haley, the coordinator, called the same plays when Tyrod Taylor was in there and Baker Mayfield. Baker just had more success running the same plays.
Well, looking at that, Scott, in the first half, the Browns kind of offensively looked like they were kind of stuck in mud, so to speak. So you think it was more on the quarterback play rather than any kind of play calling?
I do. I will say this. They adjusted their pass protection. In Tyrod's first couple of drives, the Jets had free blitzers, it felt like, every time they dropped back to pass. And there's only so much a quarterback can do when the safety or linebackers get into him in about a second and a half. So they made an adjustment on the sideline and figured out how to pick up the blitzes. But we've seen it across the league. And I'm not comparing Baker to Aaron Rodgers, or I'm not going that far nearly at all. But what I'm saying is when you have quality quarterback play, the rest of the offense looks different. The play calling looks better. The offensive line looks better. the receivers look better. The running game looks better because now the defense has to respect your ability to throw the ball. And I think we saw that from Baker because he made such quick decisions. The pass rush wasn't going to get to him. He made such accurate throws that the receivers almost had no choice but to catch the ball, although he did have three drops. His numbers would be even better if he didn't have those three drops. It just makes everything go better. And then the safeties have to respect the pass, so all of a sudden the middle of the field's open, and Carlos Hyde is able to run for 98 yards. All of that is because the quarterback threatens the defense, and we just haven't seen that nearly enough in Cleveland. And when you can do it, the whole operation looks different, and all of a sudden there was a rhythm, not to mention the energy that Baker brought to that game. And it's hard to quantify, and, you know, you got the it factor and all those things. Man, this guy just has it about him. And sometimes I don't like that when people say that. You know, it's hard to quantify, and it seems to be said about a lot of different guys. But I'll tell you this. In that stadium, when they're down 14-0, it felt like the game was over. They're going to lose, and the season's going to be miserable. And even before Baker threw one pass, and he's walking into the huddle, it felt different, and it felt like they might actually have a chance to win this game. And it's just something about him and what he does to his team, and that's special.
Scott, you mentioned blitzing, rushing the quarterback. Let's switch to Green Bay for a second here. Clay Matthews flagged again yesterday for roughing the passer. What are your thoughts on the new sort of revised NFL rule when it comes to hitting a quarterback?
I understand the frustration, and I understand Clay Matthews' frustration, and I've talked to Browns defensive players, and they don't know what they're supposed to do, and I get all of that. But when the NFL makes it a point of emphasis, which they did, this rule's been in the rule book for a long time. They made it a point of emphasis this season. Then I think it's up to the players to adjust. And I thought the sack yesterday from Clay Matthews, it looked to me like he drove the guy into the ground with all his weight. And I think there's a way you can avoid that. I don't think he avoided it. And I understand why the official did that. Now, you can say it's an awful rule, and I don't even know if I can argue with that. But they've made a point to enforce it, so then I think it's up to the defenders to change. And I think there's a way to do it, and I think Clay Matthews didn't do what he needed to do.
That's up to the coaches to kind of drill that into their heads, or how does that really work?
It is, and it's tough. You know, and I've never sacked a quarterback at the NFL level, so I don't know. You know, I know everything's moving at 100 miles an hour. But, you know, I watched the Browns practice this, I think they call it the Gator Roll, where they wrap up the tackling dummy and then they kind of twist in midair. If you do that, you're not going to get that penalty. You know, I think if you hit him and you take him halfway to the ground and then let him go, you're not going to get that penalty. But if you put your shoulder in his chest and lift up your legs into him, which might be considered a form tackle, and that might have been the way he's taught, but that's what they're trying to avoid. They're trying to avoid 250 pounds on the quarterback so a guy like Aaron Rodgers doesn't break his collarbone, and then people don't want to watch the Packers anymore. And we can say it's weighted too much to the quarterback, but the fact is the best games to watch are the games with quality quarterback play, and that's why they protect the quarterbacks.
Yep, and getting words out of San Francisco, they might be without their quarterback as well. Seems that a lot of these players that could have been on our team are still on the sidelines with injuries at some point. But let's talk a little bit about, I guess, coming up. First of all, we have to make it official that a word from the Browns or Hugh Jackson about the starting quarterback should come about sometime today, right?
Yeah, I got my story waiting to post. It's inevitable. It's going to be Baker Mayfield. Hugh Jackson just wanted to inform Tyrod Taylor in person. We're in the Baker era, and he's going to make his first start Sunday in Oakland.
And what can we expect going up against those winless Raiders at this point?
Well, yeah, it's interesting. You know, I think expectations change for this team with Baker Mayfield in there. Not that they couldn't have gone to Oakland and won with Tyrod Taylor. Oakland's really struggling. But you know how this league is. It's a crazy league, and all you have to do is look at the results yesterday. Buffalo's a 16.5-point underdog, goes into Minnesota and drills Minnesota. And it feels like the team that's the most desperate a lot of times wins in the NFL. And Oakland's going to be desperate at 0-3, so I don't think the Browns can take anything for granted. It'll be fascinating to see what an opposing defense, how they prepare for Baker, given a little bit of film. You know, do they put all their pressure up the middle, trying to make it difficult for him to see over the line and make him roll outside the pocket? So it's going to be interesting, but it's definitely a winnable game. I mean, the Browns have been in all three games they've played. Oakland's probably, I think you can argue, the worst team of the first four on the schedule. So it's a winnable game for the Browns. It's a first chance to be over 500 at the end of the 2014 season. And then you can build some momentum coming back home for a couple of home games after that against Baltimore and the Chargers.
Yeah, we've got a better record than the Patriots right now. So how does this?
Yeah, about that.
They're still putting the Jets at the bottom of that division, though, at this point, even when they're the equal. They just, for some reason, the copywriter puts the Jets still below the Patriots. Maybe he's a Pats fan.
It's probably alphabetical order.
Oh, okay. Maybe that's the excuse. Good. Well, Scott, we'll talk with you again next week. Hopefully we've got a streak going that we can talk about against the Raiders. And as you say, the Baker Mayfield era has begun, only 5 short months since he became the number one pick in the draft. Talk to you again, Scott. Thank you.
Thanks.
Scott Petrak of the Chronicle Telegram joining us this morning. You can follow him on thebrownzone.com or also at Scott Petrak as well.